The election not far away now, and join us to give his views on that is Mr. Ken Bates. Morning, KB.
Morning, how are you?
Very well, very well.
Ken now.
Getting very, very excited about the election, which is not that far away. There's a number of issues that have been brought up over this last few weeks, and there'll be plenty more over this next few weeks. And we're going to get your views on that ahead of this general election in 2015. One thing that does seem to be a great debating subject is the subject of tax, and all of the parties do have their own particular views on it, don't they, KB?
Well, of course they do, but if you actually listen to them, they're very short on specifics, aren't they? I think the important thing is they say, we're going to tax this, we're going to tax that, we're going to tax the other. But they don't tell us how much it's going to cost to collect the tax. Many years ago, when I was in doing a lot of business in Australia, I dealt with the number two tax man in Queensland. And he said to me, Mr. Bates, I run this department like a business. He said, I go for maximum tax income for the minimum costs. And I always remembered that. And unfortunately, in so many ways, in Britain, we come up with a particular tax because of a dogma, and then the civil servants have to sort it out. But so often, the cost of collecting the tax is so huge that the net return to the revenue is very small. Now, the golden rule in business, like anyone should kiss, keep it simple, stupid. And therefore, we have the most complicated tax system in the world. And it needs to be drastically cleaned up. Not tinkered with, cleaned up. For example, if you're in Guernsey, certain number of you first so much is tax free, of that is 20%. There are no allowances or credits or deductions. It's 20%, that's it. Everybody knows about it. So very few people try to fiddle it. Collection costs are minimal. But I think we could probably knock 10-15% off the civil service if we simplify things. I'll give one specific example of my own experience. 2 years ago, one day I opened the post. I had 9 letters in 9 separate envelopes posted from the Work and Pensions office in Newcastle. They're all signed by the same woman. They're all querying about my minuscule pension. The heading at the letter was Newcastle. They're all posted from Belfast. He said, if you had any queries, please ring the Liverpool office. Now, I don't understand it anyway. But why 9 letters from the same woman on the same day? I paid in my pension for 43 years. And they're arguing about, I think, £2,500. Must have cost them £5,000 to collect it. Now, this is, all right, that's a specific example which I experienced. But this is going on all over the country. So when they said, we're going to tax the rich. Well, okay, I suppose the rich turn around and say, that's it, we'll stop working. We won't make any money. We've got enough. Why work? Why go through all the nonsense? And therefore, why should I employ people? Why should I create jobs? Because wealth cascades down. I can remember years and years ago, I think it was Kinnock, talking about smoked salmon socialists and eating in the Savoy. Someone said, shut the Savoy down. Okay, so we shut them down. What about all the waiters, the waitresses, the cleaners, the cooks, all the doormen, all the men behind the scenes, all those workers who found out a job? People don't think things through in their dogma. And even today, I've been listening, I've been monitoring all over the weekend, or the newspapers. They're all short on detail. They don't tell you how it's going to work. how it's going to work, how it's going to actually collect the money in, meanwhile, how the country is going to be run, and how they're going to pay off the deficit. And what we have to remember, of course, is the deficit and the huge debts money we owe was created by the previous Labour government. Tony Blair and Gordon Brown. So, the first, I read recently, we pay £47 billion a year. £47 billion a year in interest on debt, on the national debt. Now, roughly, that's about £1,000 for every person who lives in Great Britain. So if we didn't have any debt, we could increase everybody's standard of living immediately by £1,000. But the only reason we've got this debt, we've been spending money we haven't got. You know? The ordinary guy goes to Wonga or has a credit card or personal loan or something, spending money they haven't got. Live now, pay later. But we've not been paying. And we have been a generation of thieves. We've been stealing money from our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren to indulge in our expenditure now. And it's a bloody disgrace. And everybody should get together collectively and tell the politicians enough is enough. Because the worst part about it is having got the money and how much we've wasted. It's in the paper today, a Nigerian lady has just had quintuplets, five babies, in England. She was pregnant, came over on a six-month tourist visa, stayed with her sister in East London. She gave birth by cesarean section in April 2011, stayed for 2 weeks. And the twins, so I stayed in the hospital for 2 weeks, and it cost £200,000. And it turns out that her husband is a wealthy businessman who owns a logistic company and a hotel and a business centre in Lagos. Why did they pay for her £200,000 medical costs in the UK? My husband's a rich man in Nigeria. That's incompetence on behalf of the people that are in. Goes right back to who issued the visa. Didn't they see she was pregnant? We have no reason. That's the kind of money that's being wasted. I keep talking about the National Health Service. Oh, we use that as an easy thing to flog, but the National Health Service is overwhelmed because we treat so many foreigners. But you don't get similar reciprocal situation elsewhere. And that's the kind of thing we need to stamp out. And that's the kind of thing we can do that. We can reduce everybody's taxes. Now, if you say, banding around minutes, some of these policies banding around numbers. And I'm saying this without criticism of any particular party, because they're all nearly all as bad as each other. Oh, we're going to put £8 billion more than national. Oh, really? Great. We're going to spend £12 billion a year on overseas aid. Well, if anybody read the Mail on Sunday yesterday, there was an exposure on how their money, your money, the working class money, is being wasted on consultants, on this, on that, on the other, to countries who don't need it, can't justify it, and aren't worthy of it. Apparently we just spend nearly half a million pounds on decorating, opening and furnishing a brand new aid distribution and supervision centre in Mumbai, India, even though apparently we're not giving them any more money after next year. An example of waste. This is the sort of thing that we should be tackling, waste. Because what happens is with civil servants and local government officers as well, they've got the money, they'll spend it. they don't spend it, it'll be cut down next year. Maybe they'll be out of a job. And that is the serious thing which nobody is approaching or addressing. For the simple reason, most of them, most politicians, have never done a proper day's work in their life, in the real world. And they don't really know what they're talking about. But so many people don't. And I don't think working in PR, marketing, or communications is, again, the real world. So let's look at now a few more details. I think it's wrong. We're supposed to give everybody equal time. Well, what's happened to the Northern Ireland parties? They haven't been on TV. They've had no TV coverage at all. They haven't been on the so-called debates. Not that they've been much of debates. They've actually been slanging matches. Level of behaviour which wouldn't be tolerated in the playground when I was a young boy. And Prime Minister question times are the lowest of the low I've ever seen in all my years watching politics. Jeremy Paxman did a very bad job when he dealt with Miliband and Cameron. You ask somebody a question, a relevant question, not what's the price of milk and rubbish like that, and then you shut up and you give the candidate a chance to answer the question. Now, if you've got a good argument, that's what you do. You pursue your argument. There's always a fear. If you slag off the opposition, it's because you're just trying to hide the fact that you don't have a good argument. So I'd like to think that Mr. Miliband, Mr. Cameron, Mr. Balls, Mr. Osborne, Mr. Clegg, even Mr. Clegg, will be specific on what they will do, what they won't do, and how they're going to pay for it, and not clutch figures out of the air. Then somebody says, oh, we're going to raise $1.5 billion by increasing tax on non-doms. Well, where do they get these figures from? And it's been proved, of course, that you collect and you less tap more tax on lower rates than you on higher rates of tax. And of course these non-doms that come in, they spend a lot of tax anyway. They're richer than the average Englishman. They spend more, so they pay a lot more VAT, about 20%. When they buy their Lamborghinis or the Bentleys, instead of their Fords, they pay a lot more VAT on that as well. And they pay a higher excise tax. And usually, because they're gas guzzlers, they pay more fuel duty. And they employ people, they create jobs, which takes people off of benefits. And they, in turn, spend their wages paying VAT and creating further jobs in the shops. But what the Labour Party have not done yet, they keep talking about the poor working class. Great, yes, I agree entirely. What about the poor non-working class? The benefit cheats. The man that has 20 kids and lives off his benefits, never done a day's work in his life, or he's got a bad back. Doesn't stop him performing in bed, apparently. And what about White D, the lady who we've seen a lot of lately, featured in TV and newspapers, living it up in Mallorca, talking about her rights? She hasn't got any rights. She has responsibilities. And we all do. Remember an old Jewish guy saying to me years and years ago, he was my banker, Kent. I said, Kent, God was very clever. His name is Maurice Essex. The old Jewish guy is a banker, my banker. He said to me, Ken, God was very clever. When he created man, he gave him a mouth and two hands to feed it. He said, the trouble is, Ken, he slipped up on the design because the big eared mouse have got the smallest hands. And we all know that's true. And he told me that 60 years ago. So nothing's changed. Just so there's more money about for the people to live on. And none of them talked about immigration. They all skated around it. But the problem, they say, we've got pressures on the National Health Service. We're shortage of houses. Of course we've got a shortage of houses. Because 300,000 people here are coming in to the country. So they've got to be somewhere to live. And the benefit system in England is so, in Britain is so good. Of course people are going to come from Poland, Estonia or Latvia. But now, of course, all parties talking about now saying, right, 2 years, 3 years before you get any money. That should stop the flow. But the trouble is, sometimes, even as a politician, you're going for votes. You have to say things that people don't really want to hear. But if you say them in a logical, measured way, people will listen and believe, and what's more important, will think of the integrity of the people who are making these statements and not their blatant electioneering and vote cashing. Well, I think that's enough for one day, but I hope we have set the scene. There'll be a lot of dross talked in the next 3 weeks, but I urge everybody, don't be fooled by the cheap promises. Work out what's really best for your country and your children's and grandchildren in the next 20, 30 years before you make your decision, whatever it may be. And good luck. And if you're not sure about something, get out on the streets and when the politicians are coming around, ask them straight questions. If they don't give you a straight answer, tell them so. Then make your mind up. Who's going to do the best for you and your country and your family in the long run? Not the short run. In footballing terms, you can build a team, but it takes longer to build a club.